Seems like our Sunday night singing is getting more powerful. Maybe you're just more emboldened when the visitors aren't here. I don't know. Anyway, either way, praise the Lord. Amen. Turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to get back to Nehemiah. We've spent a little time doing some other things when we're at camp and other things going on. And so we want to get back to this. And so Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9 and we're going to begin in verse 36. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 36. The Bible says, "Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof, and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it." I want you to catch this as we're reading through this. But he said, what they're saying is, this is the people speaking unto the Lord that as they've gone, remember, we've gotten to this place of repentance and this place of revival. And they said, the land that you gave us, the fruit that you gave us there to eat, we are now, what? Servants in it. Verse 36, "Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us, because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it." Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that you'd help us tonight as we go into your word. Lord, I pray that you'd give us, Lord, would you give us ears to hear? Lord, would you direct us? Would you help us as we look into your word, these things we're going to be examining tonight? Lord, help us to really, Lord, understand your will and your purpose and your desire for us. And Father, I pray that you'd have your will and way. Help us now, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number one is this is recognition. Recognition. They had realized that the current state of their society was due to the sin of their fathers. Now, when we say that, we find here that it's not as if they were like blaming them in that sense. Matter of fact, you know, they talked about because of our sins. And so they understood it was not only our fathers that sinned, but we continued it, right? And so it wasn't, yeah, it was their fault, you know, Adam and Eve, if they wouldn't have done. No, it was, they continued. But I want to say that they realized that the state that they were in was because of their own fault. That's a good thing for us to grab a hold of at times, right? Instead of blaming someone else, it's great to just take some recognition of this thing. So, therefore, they determined to covenant together to obey the Lord and sign this statement to seal it, is what they were talking about. We go down in verse 10, it has all these names. And in verse 28 of chapter 10, it says, "And the rest of the people, and the priests, and the Levites, and the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands, unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understand. They clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law." See, so it wasn't just the leaders. They all said it. We're going to be in this thing together. This was no minor decision for them. What they were coveting with God on, to see God fulfilled in their life, was going to involve some real change in their lifestyle. This is what I'm saying to you tonight, folks, is this. What they were making a decision on wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just, yeah, no, we're going to start doing things God says. No, what they were covenanting together to agree to say, God, we're going to do that, was going to take immediate life change for them. Immediate. Wasn't something that, you know, sometimes we can get to a revival, we can come to an altar, we can come and say, God, I want you to start working on me. Can you imagine God saying, hey, buddy, hey, sister, I already have, that's why you're here. I've started working on you. Now it's time for you to start working on what it is that I'm working on you on, right? Start to make some decisions. This is what they were doing. They were about to make some real lifestyle changes. And so we go down there in verse 30. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Okay, so this is going to be a true life change for them. No longer living according to their own will and purpose, but one that was going to be determined by God's law. Okay, so watch this. They would no longer look to the people of the land, those who did not, listen folks, grab this with me, would you please, not look to the people of the land, those people that did not serve God, and they wouldn't look to them to find husbands and wives for their children. What they were saying is, we're going to go back to your law, God, I don't care what my children have to do. I don't care if I don't have anyone for my child. I am not going to go to the world to find it. Okay, you remember where they came from, right? They came from Babylon. And when they came with just who was with them. And they came into a land and they looked around and said, okay, these are all, we ain't got no other husbands or wives for our children. So we just have to. Right? We have to. We have no choice. How'd that work out for them? So they said, we're not going to do that. God, we're not going to do that anymore. This was a time, as was most of history, by the way, that marriage was a way to expand your wealth and your land. You understand that? Most of history through most of the world was a way to expand your family. It would be a way to, you would marry into this family to where now they'd have land, or maybe they'd have wealth, or this kind of thing. You would try to match up to somebody that would kind of expand what was the situation for your life to better your life, right? You didn't typically, and this is why every society has this these teledramas of the poor country girl marrying the city boy, or vice versa, right? And the family is against it, and this whole thing, right? It's the whole thing, because what they always wanted to do is they wanted to marry up to try to help their family and help their situation. They didn't have these long-term 401k and investments, right? So this is what they did. This decision, what they were making here, was going to cost them economically and socially. This was a real decision. But also, they had a second part that they said here. There was going to be a very consequential adjustment to their shopping and work schedule. That's what they're talking about here. This was no small thing. So, though it had always been part of the law of the Word of God, they had lived their lives without God's will and without God's purpose in mind. So they scheduled their life not around God's law, but around their own convenience. And so now they were covenanting together to say, God, this is a novel idea. God, we're going to go ahead and make the Sabbath holy. I think I read that somewhere in something like the 10. You know what I mean? And so they said, you know what we're going to do? God, we're going to... By the way, they weren't making up new laws. They were just saying, God, we're covenanting together to obey you what you said, and we're going to do this thing. To separate a whole day unto the purpose and will of the Lord. That's what they're saying. They said, listen, if those people come by to sell their really cool stuff, the stuff that we really want and really need, because maybe they only come by on that day, we're not going to do it, right? We're not going to do it. You know something that's amazing? Do you think a business could operate closing down on Sunday? I don't think so. I mean, it's like the biggest day. Imagine if there was like, I don't know, maybe say like a chicken restaurant. I mean, probably one of the best chicken restaurants that people, the country knows about, right? If you're thinking about a chicken restaurant. I mean, not just Christian people, atheists, hate to love Chick-fil-A. They do. I remember when all that was going on, they hated it, but they're like, man, I still got to go get that chicken, you know? I worked there. I got tired of it, so it's no big deal to me anymore. But they closed on what would be considered one of the biggest restaurant days. And matter of fact, I won't be surprised if sometime, we were mentioning this Truett Cathy this morning, and the guy that started, his son, I think, is now running it, and I think probably I won't be surprised if someday they pop it open on Sundays and change all that. But I'm saying, you know what they proved is we can make a very successful business model by going ahead and honoring God. You say, are they all honoring God? I'm just saying, the Truett Cathy, those that started that thing, their goal was to honor God. And but there's no small sacrifice for those that had, made Sunday, or for them the Sabbath day, Saturday, they had just made it another day in their life. And now they're saying, you know what? I'm no longer going to take possession of that day. I'm going to give that day back to the Lord. That's the decision, right? I mean, here we are. I'm talking to the folks that are here Sunday night, right? So I'm not like wagging my finger at you. I'm just saying this is where they were dealing with. You remember when you got saved, or you remember when you were kind of up in the air of like whether I don't really like going, you know, Sunday night, I like to mow my lawn then, or I like to do this, or I like to do that, or the other thing, and this, that, and you know, and you realize, no, this is the Lord's day. It was some sacrifice. Changed your schedule. But they also put upon themselves conditions to meet the needs of the house of God. Look at verse 32 here. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, and for the showbread, and for the continual meat offering, and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, for the set feasts, and for the holy things, and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. So, they made themselves ordinances. They made for themselves, we're going to give ourselves, and many people call this the temple tax. You know what they said? We're going to set a tax for ourselves. People call it the temple tax. I don't know if that's a tax, doesn't seem the way it fits here, but this is what they said. We're going to do this thing. And they wanted to set some accountability for themselves. Why would they set accountability for themselves? Well, because they failed. I'm just not good at this. We failed, and we made mistakes, and we've transgressed the law of God. So we're going to make something for ourselves, a sense in a way of this thing. We're going to make this ordinance for ourselves, and they're making it for themselves. Listen, by the way, this was all in line with the law of God. They were not making new laws in a sense. They were setting in their lives that which would keep them accountable to follow God's law, His will and His purpose. So do you think we should make ordinances? We should make laws on how to do this? We're living in the New Testament. So we're going to learn some things tonight. You're going to learn some things. You're like, wow, I didn't know that. You're going to hear some things. You're like, well, okay, that's interesting. And you're going to think, Pastor, are you saying we need to do that? No, we're not nation of Israel. Amen? We're not under the law. But I want us to understand because we don't follow exactly what they were doing, we can understand that there's some sacrifices, there's some commitments, there's some accountability that we make to help us. You know, we've talked about this, and we've talked about this in the past already. We've talked about the Faith Promise missions. We're going to talk about that beginning probably maybe February, March. We're going to have a conference time and missions month, really. And we talk about, you know, is it good to set this commitment that we're going to give? Well, it's not unfounded, right? You say, do we have to do that? Nope. Do we have to? If we're not a part of it, are we in rebellion? No. It's really about this thing of saying, we kind of want to hold ourselves accountable to do this thing that God wants us to do. So this is what they were doing here. They were setting this thing up, and they had failed. And they were trying to find a way that they don't keep themselves, put their own boundaries up. And they set this for themselves. Nobody put it on. They all, remember, who was all there? Everyone. The women, the children, everybody. They said, we're going to do this thing. So they determined to get back to following God in every area of their lives so that they no longer would live outside of God's blessing. They said, you gave us this land. You gave us this fruit. Somebody else owns it now. We're servants there. We want to get back, God, to where we are under your blessing. Sounds like a pretty sweet place to be, right? Look at verse 34 now. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God after the house of our fathers, after the houses of our fathers at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God as it is written in the law. And to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings, and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. So, they not only gave toward the upkeep of the temple, but they had now committed to bringing their tithes. So, the tithe has always been 10% of the income, thus the term tithe, which means 10%. Okay? But they had evidently cut some corners. Right, they had evidently cut some corners and said, "We've not really done that, but we're going to covenant. We're going to covenant not to give our sons and daughters. We're going to covenant to do these other things. We're going to covenant to make the Sabbath holy. We're going to covenant to give what you know to make a way to make sure we keep the fees or the money to the temple that it can continue going on, and we're going to bring our tithes. We're going to covenant to give everything, a tithe of all the trees, of all the fruit, of all our even you know all these things that was in the Word of God. They were now committing to give tithes of all their land in all the cities. This was a full commitment. I want to talk to you tonight about the next half hour about the tithe. The tithe, what was God's plan really? I want us to spend a little time tonight looking at this thing of the tithe in the Scriptures because it's brought up here and we're going to see it again later and he's going to really talk about it in the book of Malachi. He's really going to deal with that thing of the tithe. And so I want us to kind of get and understand the tithe for the Jew. And from this type of time, not just for the Jew, but for this period of time, different things. Turn with me if you would. Keep a something there. I think we're going to stop back there before we finish. But Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. Genesis 14, chapter 14 and verse 21. And the... So we find here, when this is the time that Abraham had delivered Lot that was there in Sodom at the time. And we're going to find the king of Sodom is there. And we find this is where we're going to come across Melchizedek. And we're going to find this kind of thing here. So verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. So this is what we're going to find here is the first record of the tithe given by Abram to the priest of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And so what we're going to see then is, I want to just read this. I want to read some more of this. Let's go back to verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. About like that. And of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shava, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, for he was the priest of the Most High God. Now we're talking about the time that, here's Abram, that God took out of the Ur of the Chaldees, right? And called him and said, follow me. Abram didn't know anything about God other than God said, come follow me. And Abram said, okay. Later, Abram gets his name changed to Abraham, the father of all people. But at this point, here he is. And so he's coming, and he brought Lot, his nephew, with him. He brought him, and here Lot is. And, you know, we know the story of him. He goes and wants to go in Sodom, and he rescues him. And here he is. He's coming back. And we meet Melchizedek, king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God. Well, where did he come from? He came from right there. What else do we know about him? That's what we know right there. We just know here he is. Well, here's what we see about him in verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Well, it's very clear who the Most High God is. It's possessor of heaven and earth. And in verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, verse 20, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. So we find here this first record. Abram given by Abram to the priest of the Most High God that's the possessor of heaven and earth. Can I say, this was some 500 years before the law was given to Moses. 500 years before the law. Thus, what we learn about the tithe here is that it was not purely given as an Old Testament law. But very likely, the tithe was there from the beginning. The thing is about the tithe, it's actually a very common, even a secular thing. Among kings, it was considered that was the portion to give. It's a very common thing. I think it probably went all the way back to Adam. I really do. You say, how do you know that? I don't. I think that. I think there was offerings given. I think there was something God set. This is just an idea, but we find here in the midst of nothing, what happened, what Abram did, he didn't say, well, how much should I give you? Should I give you half of it? Wouldn't that make sense? Wouldn't it make sense if you looted the enemy and you took that and here comes the priest of the Most High God, let me half that with you. I think halfing with God would be a pretty good deal, right? So, but he doesn't. He said he already knew there was already this understanding. That's what he gave. He gave the tithe, that 10% to him. Nevertheless, it wasn't part of the law. It didn't come as the law. Nevertheless, the tithe was added to the law. Let's go over to Leviticus chapter 27. So what I want us to understand then is the tithe didn't come about with the law. It was before the law, but it's evidently something God wanted to continue, so he brought it into the law. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof. We're going to talk about that in a second. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. And these are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. So, what we find here is the 10%. The tithe belonged to the Lord. Belonged to the Lord. If one desired to redeem a certain crop, so to redeem it means same way Jesus Christ redeemed us, it means to buy us back, right? So maybe there would be one that had a certain crop that wanted to redeem it to feed his family with, right? He said, well, there's a premium, 20% to redeem it, right? So now what we find then is, you say, well, is that really how God worked? Well, that's what I've just read it. I'm not making this up. So what he said is if you grew some... By the way, we got to think about most of the world for most of history until more recent times, before the industrial age, all the world was agricultural. It was all agricultural. So everything is in the way of grains and crops. And so we in fruit from trees and so forth. And so he said, listen, if you wanted to redeem from the crops, from the grain, you could redeem it for 20%. A double tithe. You're like, wow, that's interesting. And so, but if one desired, but of the animals, there seemed to be a practice, and I try to research this a lot, best I could find it. There seemed to be a practice of the tithe being chosen at random, not selective. And it says it passed under the rod. And so, according to Jewish tradition that passed on, it seems to make perfect sense. There's a reference to it as well in Ezekiel. But the calves or the lamb were corralled and then sent through a door. Jewish tradition, what the mamas would be out there, all the babies would be in here, and they'd put them in this corral, and the mamas would be out there, and they want to go get to the mama. And as they came out through a door, every tenth one was marked. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Tenth one's marked. Next one. 1, 2, 3. Tenth one's marked. They were now the Lord's. Not by determining which one you wanted to give. But by the way, you didn't pick out the lame ones to give to God, nor did you pick out only the best ones to give to God. God said, I don't want you to kill all of the best flock and that the generations get worse and worse. He said, but I also don't want you to give me the worst ones, because what a spirit would that be? He said, I want this to be at random. It's just an interesting thought. When God said this, he said they were his. It was by random. They didn't get to choose. And they said, oh, man, I wanted to keep that one for this one. I'm going to switch it for that one. He said, if you want to switch, both are holding. Now they're both mine. Okay, I won't switch. Right? I mean, it's like this kind of thing. So this tithe was given, this tithe of the crops and of the cattle was given to the Levites for their living. Look over Numbers. We're right there in Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18, and we're going to go down to verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Israel all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they had no land. They had no way to earn money. They had no crops. They had no cattle. So the tithe was used for them. So, did the Levites tithe? I mean, they're getting the tithe. Do the Levites tithe? Well, let's look at verse 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. Right? And this And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. So the Levites got a tithe from the people, and then they gave a tithe to the high priest. Man, it's like God had a plan. How are we going to take care of all these people? I got it. God said, I got you. Right? So notice something interesting. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 14. I want you to see something interesting here. Chapter 14, and we're going to go down to Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. So, finding here again, laws repeated several times, different things, instructions. He said, verse 22, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. By the way, let me say this here to you. Harvest came how many times a year? Typically once. Right? Came once. So when it came year by year, there was really, for a lot of them, it was an annual tithe. Of course, animals would have been a little bit different and so forth. We get that. But verse 23, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. Wait a minute. I thought we gave the tithe to the Levites. But now he's saying, of that tithe, you're going to eat it. It gets confusing, doesn't it? So we're going to find here what some people call the second tithe. Good night. I just got over the first one. Right? There was a second tithe. Yeah, there's a second tithe. Oh, yeah. There's a second tithe. We're going to find this here. This tithe was not given to the Levites, but it was eaten by the tither. Look at verse 23 again. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn and of thy wine and of thine oil and of the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. So we find that this tithe was also of all their increase that was to be eaten in a specific place. So you tithe all of your increase and give 10% of it, give that tithe to the Levites. Then you also tithe of everything. You're like, is that like gross or net? Figure that out later for yourself. So all these things aren't too specific, but we find some things here. So we find that it was to be eaten in a specific place. It was to be eaten. By the way, the law was given. Where was the law given to them at? In a place called what? The wilderness. Right? Did they have crops out there? No, they didn't have any crops. He was telling about when you get to the land, this is what you're going to be doing. And so and God said, the place I'm going to set up, he hadn't done it yet. Right? So it was the place where the Lord would eventually set up his temple, which is in the city of Jerusalem. Verse 24, he says this though. He says, and if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, because there's going to be from all the way from Israel all over, it's going to be a long ways for some are going to be way out there. He said, if it's going to be too far for thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, then the Lord thy God, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. So some live too far away from Jerusalem to make it viable to bring the tithe in its actual form. You know, carrying the cattle, I mean, they're going to be scrawny by the time they get it. It just didn't make sense. It wasn't going to be viable to do that. So it was allowed to be sold, turned into money, and brought the money. Okay? So what would be done with this money? What are they going to do with this money? Well, it tells us here in verse 26. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. Now, let me just say this word lust. Sometimes lust, and often lust, is an evil thing, desiring that which is forbidden. Sometimes it means in this sense of anything that you desire. Okay, and this is what God's saying. That you lust after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat thereof before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. We're talking here about coming to Jerusalem, most likely for a feast day. For a feast day, a holy day, a temple, to the place that there was maybe some one of the feasts going on there, maybe different things like this, Passover, whatever. This tithe was to be used to provide for their feast, for their family to rejoice before the Lord. It was a time of feasting on whatsoever they desired. You ever feel guilty about having dainty meats? We find, isn't this interesting? Like, so we're to take the tithe that's the Lord's, and by the way, it's set apart for the Lord, it's holy. We're going to bring this, and we're going to do this with it in this kind of thing. It was some sort of holy vacation savings fund. That's what happened. They got there, they got together, they said, bring you and your whole house, we're going to come here, and you're going to eat there, you're getting whatever you desire. What a great family vacation. Going up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. It's kind of like taking your family vacation at youth camp or revival meeting or something, or taking vacation days to go take kids to a youth conference, right? Amen? So what's going on? Look at verse 27. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. I love it. Oh yeah, by the way, take the Levites that are your neighbors as well. Because they have no extra ties, take them and feed them off that too. What a blessing. The Levites did not have land, but God sure did take care of them. God didn't leave them out there to say, hey, y'all just, you know, sorry, you got nothing but just serving me. No, God said, you're going to live your life serving me, but I got you, right? Now watch this. Another interesting thing to see about the tithe. Some call this the third tithe. Okay, look at verse 28. And the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithes of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. Now watch this here. I want you to see, first of all, it's within their gates. And he goes on, yeah, listen. Now this tithe was to be kept at home. Stored up on the third year. In verse 29, he says this, and the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest. This is weird. This tithe was not given to the Levites for their service. Nor was it a vacay fund for your family. It was what some call the poor man's tithe. It was set aside on the third year. People believe, a lot of folks that study, they say usually, you know, Israel dealt with a 7-year period. People thought it's probably the third year as well as the sixth year. I don't know if exactly all we have is here is this thing here. But it was set aside exclusively, a tithe on the third year, set aside exclusively for giving to their poor neighbors. The Levites also included in this group since they had no other inheritance. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26. Verse 12. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levites, the strangers, the fatherless, and the widows, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house. I want to just say this right here. He said, this third tithe. I'm calling it that. I'm not sure what we're going to call it. I'm just saying some people call it that. Whatever you want to say, where did all this... I do not believe it's the same tithe pulled over. The second and third might be the same. I'm not sure. Some people suggest maybe the first and second year was this, the third was that. There's not enough information for us to get all that. But what we do know right here is it was hallowed, which means it was set apart for the Lord. It was holy unto the Lord. And he said, and you'll say, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite and unto the stranger, to the fatherless and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have... He said, I didn't get sad and take it. Right? Saving up something over here, you got a pile of food over here, and you know over here you ain't got no more. Sometimes you want to dip a little bit, right? I mean, I'm not saying, but you could see that kind of thing. And he says this, neither have I taken away aught thereof of any for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead, but I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. There was a direct correlation of giving the tithe unto the Lord, even the first, second, and third tithe here, for His purpose and according to His will, to receive the blessings of God in the land. This is the reason we find in the book of Nehemiah them covenanting together. They understood this from the scriptures. Let's drop back over there to Nehemiah chapter 10. Verse 35. We've seen this, 35, and he went down and he says there, verse 30. Let's just go to verse 39. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers, where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. To them, what they understood from the law is to fail in this area of the tithe was to forsake the house of the Lord, leaving it in shambles, just as it had been in their absence. The tithe is, wow. I mean, when you look at what the Israelites did, it was, aren't you glad we're not under the law? Amen? I mean, good night. Tithe, so you say, all I'm left with is 70%? Well, the third tithe was only on the third year, so, you know, 80%. Could a person live off that? If you're obeying it, the blessing of God came upon them. It's when they stopped. Here's my conclusion. I want to conclude with a verse from the New Testament. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew. Man, I got pretty close on time. We'll see. Yeah, we're going to get there. Matthew 23:23. Find Jesus talking to some of our favorite people, the Pharisees. Right? Matthew 23:23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So our Lord gives this rebuke to the Pharisees. They were tithing, but they lost the more important matters. He says the weightier matters, the things that the tithe were meant to point out to the believer. Remember, he said that we might learn to trust the Lord. He talks about this, that we might learn to know the Lord. Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more trustworthy than putting God in charge of your living. God, I'm going to trust you with this. He said, well, I need all that to live. You know what we need? We sang it this morning, I think it was. Look and live. Was that tonight? That was this morning. Look and live. I'm just saying what he says here. He said, you ought to have done these things and not to leave the other undone. And it doesn't matter which one you think is which one. Either one, he said, both of them. Judgment, mercy, faith. They left off the substance and only did the surface. By the way, dropping our tithe off without the weightier matters is worthless. I want to repeat this. God doesn't need our money. God never needed money. He actually kind of grows the trees. He shakes the earth. Right? Well, what if the stock market goes down? I don't know if he can handle that. Well, that's out of God's hand, the stock market, right? I mean, wow, what greater way to trust God than this? The Lord said this. These ought to be done. Yes, tithing is still to be done. Not the same way we find it in the law. Let's get mixed up when they say, preacher, you think we're supposed to do that today? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're not to do it like the law did. The law was different. Right? The law was different. The law was, there were certain things he had there was their social service for the Jews, right? It's different. Because it still shows, the tithe is still something that God wants and wants it to be done, because it still shows the same thing that it is always intended to demonstrate. Our faith, trust, and hope in the mercy of our Lord. But one without the other is empty. I so appreciate what we find there in the book of Nehemiah, when revival came, they said, we got to get that thing right. Well, maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, Pastor, are you trying to preach me into tithing? Yeah. If you're not, I don't look at the records. So I don't, you know, you're like, man, he's staring at me. I don't even know. Okay. Not because I can't know, I just don't. It's just, yeah, I got my own department, right? So why would you try to preach people into tithing? Because this is what God wants us to do. Blessing is there, man. I want God's hand to be upon you. But I'm going to tell you what: if we do one without the other, we're still missing something. By the way, I want to say this as well. I don't think this. I don't even know, honestly. I don't even know, but. This isn't because we're a problem here. That's why I like preaching through the Word of God. We're going to get to it. When we get to it, we're going to dwell there a little bit. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you'd help us. Lord, what we see tonight isn't just the tithe. Father, we're talking about putting our trust in you. Judgment. Mercy. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to really be as what we find this nation of Israel at that time in the rebuilding. So God, we just want to go back to trusting you with the mates for our children. We just want to trust you with how we're going to spend our day, the Lord's day, and the Sabbath in that sense there. And Lord, we're going to just trust you in how we take care of these things with our finance. Lord, you really were dealing with every area of their lives, and they were dealing with it as they seen in your law. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight here at Heritage Baptist Church, that we would, each of us, put our trust in you in all these areas of our lives. Father, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.